It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Alright, stop fucking around. We gotta do this. Stop going around. We gotta fight crime. Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world I swear I had these beforehand. The only podcast in the world.
Well, you don't tell me. I have no idea. I can't help you.
Let's think on this.
All I can do is pretend to know what you were going to say.
Which you don't always do really good at that, I gotta say.
Oh, I see. So you can't remember, and now you're going to turn it back on me, and I don't often have a good retort to your little thing.
We used to say the only podcast in the world that William's on, but we can't say that anymore. It's still the only podcast in the world that Tony's on, because Tony has what's called loyalty. Tony is a lady.
By the way,
lady doesn't leave her escort.
I hope you all enjoyed screenshots last week where we talked about our favorite TV Christmas specials.
God damn it. Turning into Ryan motherfucking Seacrest over here. Well, I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 146.
We did 145 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I said 146.
Eventually.
I said it.
All right. So welcome. If you're just joining us now, we did 145 10 minutes ago. So go back to that. Also, we have a hat that's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. It can be written to, and should be, often, like a good friend. With comments, questions, topics, stuff like that. The hat then magically, of its own accord, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, which manifest physically within the hat itself, and we draw those cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that whole thing for an hour.
All we do is show up, look in the hat, and then the little pieces of paper are in there.
Yes.
We don't do anything else.
Well, some of us pay for the web hosting.
Yeah, besides that, I mean, that's what makes it magical.
That is what makes it magical. That and friendship. Did you feel that?
And dreams coming true.
Did you feel that? A little gagged, just a little.
You did?
Yeah.
No, I didn't feel you gagging.
Well, give me your hand. Here, no. Feel this.
That's all right. Feel I'll this. Take your word for it.
Feel how it feels like there's a baby kicking? I'm not pregnant. That's just my dinner.
Have I... You know, we have a mutual friend named Mick. And he's
we
a,
do have a mutual friend
he's
named Mick.
He's a large guy.
He's not pregnant either.
Did that, have I told the story?
Well, at least the last time I talked to him, he was
pregnant. I have. I've told the story on the air about the time a kid asked him if there was a baby in there.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Is there a baby in there? And Mick said, yes. And he was delicious.
Oh, Nice.
Yeah.
And what did that kid do?
The kid laughed. No, the kid thought it was funny.
Oh, that is the best answer. That is awesome.
Is there
in
a
fact,
baby
I'm
going
to start yes. trying to get and kids to delicious. Ask me if I have a baby. I I don't exactly know how I'm going to do that, and I feel like it's going to be creepy, but I'm going to find ways to make kids. Just today at work, there's a person who I work with. I don't, like, see a lot, but we're in the same area, and so, you know, we chat and stuff. And she had been gone because she had her baby. And so she's gone for a few weeks, mm-hmm. and now she's back. Mm-hmm. She'd been back for, like, a week, and I haven't really seen her. And so I walked by her in the hall, and she said, hey. I said, hey. And I said, hey, what did you do? That baby you had, what did you do with it? And she said, what did I do with it?
Why said, do you want to know?
You don't have it now. I see you here. There's no baby. What did you do with that baby that you had? And she said, I left it by the side of the road for another family to come get. Oh. I thought that was a good... And I said, yeah, no, that was a good call. And she's like, okay. I said, it was just slowing you down. And she's like, yeah.
It was just slowing you down.
That's what babies do.
Well, I guess.
My wife stole a baby today.
She did?
Just for a little while. It's funny, though, because it's a friend of ours. This was at the office winter event. And this guy brought in his baby. And his baby is adorable, which is a thing, yeah, you know, you don't have a lot thing. Of, some, she said when we were volunteering, she said, saw somebody that had a cute baby, and I said, and she's serious, because earlier she said to me, there's an ugly baby in here when somebody else was in here, so she doesn't call all babies cute, but, so he came over and was talking to us with that, and he said, I'm going to go over here, but you guys find me if you want some baby time, because Trish wanted baby. And she's like, sure. And he's like, okay, when you finish eating, you come over. And then he walks away, and Trish says, you can tell it's the first kid. Because you have to not be eating, and you have to be near where he is. Like, when time goes on, like, as soon as you show any interest, they're like, take this kid. Hold this kid. So she stole a baby, but she stayed, like, close by later. So... Yeah, for us, it's still not Christmas.
No. But everyone else has already experienced
so
that.
So, this is Christmas.
And I hope everyone had a great holiday.
I hope most of you had a great holiday. There's a couple of you I don't, and you know who you are. And you know why. So, let that be a lesson to you.
That'll show them.
So, how was your Christmas, William?
Oh, it was just...
What did you do for Christmas?
Well, I have to guess. I
really?
Probably went back to Des Moines.
It is the 19th, area. And you don't know what you're doing for Christmas?
No.
How does that work?
It's just like every other time. I know I'm probably, you know, well, I don't know. I mean, last year when the weather, there, I think we had sort of not so great weather around Christmas, and I didn't go.
But wait,
anywhere.
So is this, the plan is to go to Des Moines barring complications? Or the plan is, nobody said shit, but I'm just assuming?
Yeah, it's the last one.
That ain't right.
That's how it always is.
That's not right.
Well, nobody's coming here, because everybody lives over there. It wouldn't make sense for people to come here, so I must be going over there somewhere. I just have to be told where exactly.
They're all flying out to Alaska, and you're just SOL.
Oh, well, that, you know, that's... A possibility.
I'm saying, so this should be a conversation that is had.
If they were flying to Alaska, it would probably be had.
Well.
Is what I'm saying.
Still. They should at least tell you where to go and when and
well,
stuff.
Well, they can't decide and...
Seriously?
Look.
This?
Okay. It's a 100-mile drive one way or the other, so it doesn't really matter in a way.
No. I know. No. When I was a kid, growing up. Mm-hmm. On the mean streets of Oregon.
Mean streets of Portland.
I was not in Portland. Portland, actually.
Oh, Kaiser,
when
sorry.
I was a kid, had gang-related deaths greater than New York City, so don't laugh about that. But I was in Salem. There were
greater
like
than
that.
New York City? For, you mean like per capita
years,
or something?
For
or?
A few years, they had more gang-related deaths per year than...
Per capita, though.
I don't know. I was a kid. I didn't know what a capita was. Anyway, it was a serious problem for a while, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I wasn't there, so fuck it. What was I talking about? Christmas. God damn it. So, there were, in the universe, of places to go for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
My house, which was in Kaiser slash Salem, that area.
Slash Sling Blade.
Hey. I was always like, how do you remember my home? Oh, yeah, that's right. In my house, there was all these other ones are in the Portland area, so they're about 60 miles away. My Aunt Barbie's house, my grandparents' house, and at various points in the lifetime, my cousin's house when he was older, my uncle's house when he still lived around here. But so, on average, there's like four places.
Mm-hmm.
They are all within less than 60 miles of each other.
Mm-hmm.
We had that shit planned out weeks in advance. Whose house was going to be Christmas? Right. Sometimes the year before we figured that out.
And why was that?
So that they could prepare.
So who could prepare?
Everybody.
Right. So...
so that the people whose house it was could prepare,
yes,
especially.
Yes, that's right.
But also the rest of us could not worry about that.
Right.
And also we had to figure out who was bringing what. Yes. Things like that.
It's complicated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what the fuck is wrong with your family?
It's not complicated. It's not complicated.
Why does nobody bring nothing?
Well, we bring almost all of our own stuff because we eat such different things.
You do.
So
okay.
They don't have to worry about any of that. They all eat the same stuff, and it's all very easy. I mean, remember, my family doesn't eat very much. So
really?
I didn't know that. Terms of variety of things.
Yes, yes, but somebody's still got to make the turkey. Somebody got to make the potatoes.
Yeah.
Somebody got to make the...
not complicated.
Beef jerky.
Not hard. We're talking about two, three people have to figure all that out.
And they just don't tell them the rest of you?
Well, they don't have to tell us because we're not going to eat most of what they make anyway.
Yeah, but it seems like if you're talking about it, it's more effort to leave you out. Because normally it would just be an email or something. Word would get around, you know?
All we need to know is which house we're going to and what time. And even the what time's not that important because we're pretty sure we know that already.
I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying it's weird that it's not there. I never needed to know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing nothing. I was a child, and a lazy child at that. Well, I still knew weeks in advance where we were going.
There are other reasons why people figure this out. It's also so nobody feels left out, nobody's feelings are hurt, nobody, you know. And that kind of thing, not an issue. I mean, there's just, it's everything is so simple. I mean, for example, we could change, things could change that day. We could get a phone call and Dad could say, you know, because my dad lives on a gravel road still. Dad could say, look, the roads aren't very good. We're going to move everything to so-and-so's house. And that's it. And I know for a lot of people, you couldn't do that. It'd be too complicated. There'd be too much stuff. Everyone's figured this out and that out. Not in my family because we could go from one house to the other without any problem, any difficulty at all. It's just everything's so simple. You know?
I'm fine with simple. I still feel like, wouldn't it come up in conversation?
Wouldn't what come up in conversation?
Who the fuck is having Christmas?
Sure. I mean, I ask all the time. But they don't know, so...
So, okay. So it's not even the simple. It's just the indecisiveness. It's not that nobody has told you. It's that literally nobody's going to make a decision until, like, 2 days before or something.
They're both things because the reason they can do that and it doesn't really bother anybody is because it's so simple.
But the simple doesn't make... That makes it possible. Doesn't make it necessary.
No, right. You're right.
They're just like...
It's a necessary condition for them to be... Yeah, not a sufficient reason.
That's still weird. If you would like to comment on how weird William's family is, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and support me in my mocking of William's family. Do it. We'll wait.
Sometimes.
You never have Christmas at your house.
No.
No.
No, because that would be like, that would be complicated. A lot of people would be coming here. We'd have to figure out what they were going to eat that we don't normally even have in our house.
I feel like we were less in the rotation than other people because it was everybody had to come down to us.
Sure.
And it was more travel. And there was one year where there was kind of bad snow and nobody showed up. And it was like the first year, like my sister was doing all the cooking. Mm. That was bad.
Yeah. Well,
we were kind of angry.
So, you know, we just hop on the interstate. It's 2-hour drive to wherever. And that's it.
Don't go east.
And we have to prepare the same stuff, whether we stay home or whoever's house we go to. So it's all the same.
You should just Skype it.
Well, I don't know.
I did that.
And last year, I guess I think last year we didn't because of the weather. I mean, and that was okay, you know.
I did Skype Christmas.
Not a big deal.
2 years ago. Because, we didn't. We had Christmas in Oregon. And then because of timing and stuff, my mother-in-law just decided they postponed Christmas till New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
So we were back. And then Gray Boy was real sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to stay home. Right. And so he Skyped me in. Which was funny, because then last year I was asking the kids, I was like, where was I in the room? And they would show me the spot where they had put the computer.
Well, I don't want to make it sound like I don't care if we get together for Christmas. But, I mean, if we can't get together for Christmas, it's nobody freaks out or feels angry or upset or anything. It's, I mean, we try to get together throughout the year lots of times.
Yeah.
You know, lots of reasons. So, you know, it is a special time around the holidays and we like to get together. But if we can't, that's okay.
Usually that's for us too. It's a bigger deal like this year because the whole family is there.
If Roger and the kids were coming back, it's
the same sort of deal. Yeah, because we have some that are in Georgia, and they switch years,
mm-hmm.
With the two different families, and so this year they're coming out here, so everybody's going to be there. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of a bigger deal if the brother that lives in Alaska comes with his kids and stuff.
Yes, or if he has Christmas at his house.
What?
If he hosts Christmas and you all have to drive Alaska.
That never happens.
And bring it along your weird V and food all the way to Alaska.
Now, the oldest boy, my oldest nephew, might be going to college in Iowa. Not just in Iowa, but Iowa State University, which is, an hour, maybe a little more than an hour, north of where we live. And where my dad lives.
Okay.
And only...
Not even that, like half hour north of Des Moines.
Yeah, like 30 or 40 minutes north of Des Moines. So,
oh, this is the nephew of the Alaska people.
Yeah.
Okay. I was way less impressed that one of the offspring of your Des Moines family was going to college a half hour north of Des Moines. That was not much of a story.
The only sibling I have that has kids is in Alaska.
Oh, what are the other ones doing?
Well, like my oldest, Scott, who I do screenshots with, he only got married a few years ago.
Well, tell him I want grandkids.
I don't think he's going to have kids. I divorced without having kids, and
you have kids.
Well, I have my
godkids. You have kids.
I'm not saying I don't have kids. I didn't have kids in my marriage.
Yes.
And my other brother divorced without having kids, and my sister's not married, and she's, you know, in her. She's going to be 40 next year or something. So.
I thought there were a lot more kids.
No, believe me, my father's very disappointed. He grew up an only child and hated it. I mean, I can't tell you how many stories we heard about Dad growing up and feeling so lonely. And, you know, the truth is, he had two siblings, twins, were born before he was, a few years before he was, and they passed away.
Yeah.
So it's not just that he was an only child and hated it, but, you know, the siblings that were actually born before him died. So he has all these horrible... stories about how lonely he felt as a kid, and he told us these stories every time we ever got in fights or anything else. He had five kids, you know, somewhat in response to being an only child himself, and only one of his kids ever had kids himself.
Well,
and then moved to Alaska.
Well,
so he's not happy either.
But, whereas at a certain point, human embryos, the eggs. can no longer really function to be fertilized, the sperm will work well into late age.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying he could have more kids.
He could have more kids.
Yes.
No, he doesn't want more kids. He wants grandkids. He thought that he would have like 15, 20 grandkids.
I'm just saying these kids might give him grandkids. The new ones.
The new ones.
If he has more kids. Clearly, you guys did it wrong.
Well, that's what he says.
So he can try again.
That's what he says.
I'm just saying.
Like, what's wrong with you guys?
The game is not over for him.
Well,
he can make new pieces.
Point is, he wanted grandkids specifically. Like, he remembers what it was like. You know, he had great admiration for his maternal grandfather in particular, and he dreamed of the time when he would be a grandfather with a lot of grandkids, and he would do all the stuff that his grandfather did. And then it just never happened because the four kids that live nearby don't have kids, and the one kid that had three kids has always lived far away. I mean, they lived in Minnesota for a while, but then they lived in Seattle, and now they live in Alaska. So.
And your father is retired, yes?
Yeah.
Fuck it, he moved to Alaska.
Well, actually, we kind of thought maybe that would be good for him to do, because actually he likes all the places out west. He went, you know, he's visited several places out west, and when they lived in Seattle, he went out there, and he'd fit in great in Alaska, and I think he thinks so too, but you know, he's really sentimentally attached to the farm that he grew up on and that we all grew up on, and I don't think he'll ever leave there. Well, I know he'll never leave there.
Even to, like, go get milk?
You're funny.
I know.
But,
don't have to tell me.
I think he's been tempted, you know, for those reasons, but yeah.
Who's going to get the farm when he dies?
Who's going to get it?
Yeah.
Well, part of it is already owned by one of the brothers because he contributed a lot to the new house getting built.
Yes.
Okay, so he already owns part of it.
Does he own the part with the house?
No.
Who's going to get the house?
Well, I don't think anyone's going to get the house.
What's going to happen to the house?
Well, I think what's going to happen is, I mean, I haven't talked to everybody.
Your family's weird. They're going to turn it into a museum or some shit, aren't they?
No.
Okay, what's going to happen to the house?
I think what's probably going to happen overall is the land will be divided up, obviously.
Yeah.
I think the brother that's invested, I mean, none of the rest of us have invested anything into it. He has. So he'll probably, we'll probably divide the what's left into five parts so that he'll keep the part that he already has, and then he'll get a fifth of the rest of it.
Okay.
So that way he'll have more than we have, because that's only fair, because he's invested so much in the farm. And if he wants the house to be part of his share, I think we'll all agree that that should be, because he actually worked on it and everything else. But I have a feeling what he's going to want to do, and what we'll probably all agree to, is that portion of the property remains sort of common property. Like, we can always go back there for holidays and or to stay, or, you know, if we feel like it. Because it's in the country, right? You know, you want to spend a weekend in the country, you can just go down there and you can stay in the house.
What you should do is divide up the land, maybe even including that, but then form a corporation. And then it can still essentially be common run and common owned and everything. That's what we're encouraging my wife and her siblings to do, because there was a bunch of land and grandpa and grandma died and it got split amongst the three siblings.
Mm.
And so now my mother-in-law has land.
Mm.
Nobody in our family had nobody has farmed on it in a while. They rented out. And there's some issue of what if once it gets split amongst four children, what if somebody wants to sell one or whatever like that. And it's harder to rent to somebody that way. So it's been suggested make a corporation, and then it's still all together while everybody still has their part.
Well, I imagine whatever we decide to do with it, we'll have to do some legal thing like that in accordance with what we want
to
do.
You might want to talk to your siblings, though, make sure everybody's on the same page.
Well, we've talked about a lot of this. I mean, a lot of what I'm saying has come up in our conversations. I mean, right now, the land is rented out and farmed. And it makes anywhere between $10,000 and $15,000 a year. It's not a huge amount of money to split among five people.
I'll take it.
Probably.
I'll take your share.
No. The most value that land has for us is that we can go there for things and do things there and spend time there, you know, whenever we want. And, you know, we're perfectly, I imagine we'd all be perfectly happy with the income going to, the rental income just going to keeping it up.
Yeah.
Because that can be an expensive prospect. And that's it. You know, I don't think any of us are thinking of it as, oh, we're going to get this land and then we're going to be able to sell it and make some money off. I don't think anyone's thinking like that.
Better be sure.
Well, last I knew...
You don't want to find that out after...
No, I know, but, I mean, you know, Mom passed away in 2006, and we were all together talking about just this kind of thing, and nobody seemed to have an idea like that at that time.
Welcome to Estate Planning with Tony and William.
But not that I don't know that anyone would mind if they did. I mean, you know, a lot of it's farmland.
I kind of figured being on a farm.
Yeah, 150 acres. If
couple thousand acres.
No, it's not a couple thousand acres. If a piece got sold, you know, we'd probably, you know, providing it's not where the house is, we probably wouldn't miss it. If that's what one of the siblings wanted to do, okay. You know, whatever. But I really doubt anyone's going to... I mean, farmland can sell for a pretty good price around here, but not that much. Not then worth selling it, I don't think.
The terrorists win.
Most of the time people sell farmland in Iowa, which that is a big deal here, where farmland is getting sold off a lot, a huge...
To the Japanese.
Amounts. No. It's kind of concerning how much farmland is getting sold off, but it doesn't just happen because someone decides, well, my farming father died and I want to sell this land. It usually happens when the farmland is nearby some suburbs or a town or whatever. They can subdivide the land and sell it for a lot more than they could
sell it as
farmland.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, our dad's farm isn't anywhere close to a place where we could
wait
do that.
For it.
No.
When the Meltzer Dallas Metroplex sprawl goes out.
Well, there's a Des Moines built a bypass around its southern part fairly recently. I mean, in the last 20 years or whatever. It didn't used to have a south running bypass. Dad thought that would cause some growth in the Meltzer area because, you know, now the bypass was a lot closer to Meltzer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how that works. Bypass goes and develop. Nothing happened. No development.
Because Meltzer is super boring.
Well, I mean, there's even towns closer, like Pleasantville. There wasn't any. In fact, the bypass made all the traffic go past Pleasantville that used to go through it. So, I mean, it's really not been a boon for anyone in the South for some reason.
Okay, I bored myself with this conversation, so let's take out the hat.
All right. I'm surprised you would even want to talk about all this crap.
I'm fascinated by what Midwestern children do with farmland.
Well, what I'd love to do is actually farm it, but you can't do that these days.
No. Because of your stubby fingers.
Craig, this is 2 weeks in a row for Craig. Dear William and Tony.
Yes?
Do you ever find it weird talking about your week for people you don't know to listen to?
Oh.
Well, I mean...
You do, because you find talking about yourself weird all the times.
Yeah, we've actually covered this on the podcast a number of times, how odd I feel talking about my week. Not so much because people I don't know are listening. Because
you don't think you do nothing. But!
I don't think I have anything interesting to say. And part of that is that people are listening, because I might say talk to you about things that I don't talk about because, strangers are listening. But not because it feels weird, but because it's private.
But I think it is my bedtime, people, is why I'm yawning so much. If you go back and listen to how was your week, I think your answers have changed.
Well, there was a...
And I don't mean specifically in conduct. I mean in direction, in approach.
No, I'm sure that's true. But it's changed. Some of it's changed in interaction with the listeners. Because, I mean, we actually asked people, you know, well, what do you think? Do you mind if we talk a lot?
Yeah.
And feedback was generally positive about our visiting. Yep. So yep. At that point I thought, well, then I, you know, then it's probably okay for me to talk about certain things that I might ordinarily. It doesn't matter if I think it's boring or whatever. If it's something that might interest them or be entertaining, or maybe what I'm saying is boring, but what you say back to me isn't, you know, so I figured...
That's usually how it works.
Yeah, I figured it's really not for me to decide these things, so I'll just say what I want to say, and if people complain about it, then I'll stop saying it.
Okay, but let's look at the second part of this. There are three types of listeners, two of which can theoretically fall under people we don't know. The first type of listener are people that we know. Mark. That's it. We don't know anybody. No, but like, you know, people that we actually know from real life, interacted with.
You mean before we even started?
Exactly, yeah. And that we, like, you know, we saw them not long ago, stuff like that.
Right.
Second type is people that we technically don't know. Craig falls into this category. Never met Craig in person. Mm-hmm. Never even had a real-time conversation with him. We've traded notes, I think, on old forums and stuff like that. And on Twitter, but, like, we've never even, like, chatted online or anything. Blood Sparrow, also. You know, people like this. And then there's people we don't even know are listening. And some of those are actually people we know, too. But there's bound to be at least one or two people out there we've never met, we don't know who they are, listen.
Okay.
So, how does it feel to talk like this for... all three of those groups, really.
To me, it's the same either way.
It is to me until I think about it.
Really? Why is thinking about it change it?
Because I'm not paying attention otherwise.
But, I mean...
I don't normally think about it, but when I do, in my mind, there's a couple things. In my mind, the listeners are all our friends. And we catch them up to date on our lives. It's a large part of the show. In my mind, also, the listeners are comprised of the people that we all know. The people from the blog and the people that write in questions. And yeah. Basically nobody else.
And these days, people we've gotten to know, like,
yes.
You know, Blood Sparrow, working with on a project. And
but
stuff.
It's interesting to say that, like, I've formulated views and stuff. Like, in my mind, I know Craig. And I don't really know Craig.
Well, you know him better than I do.
Yeah, but that's not much. Like, or there, I mean, then there are people like that. Steven from Serbia, I don't even know if he still listens, but, you know, that kind of thing. And it's interesting to think that in my head, like, oh, we're friends, we talk, in that I have a podcast that he listens to. And then the concept that there are people we don't even know at all that actually listen to this is weird to me. It's very weird.
It is?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Because
I do it.
But what's weird about it?
Why would they do that? Obviously a whole line there. But just that... So there are strangers
mm-hmm.
who have fairly involved and intimate details of my life from my own mouth. And who knows what that's doing? Like, people we don't know from other places... could be telling jokes that we told on, like, like, that's weird.
Maybe.
I guess it's probably a similar experience to what people with celebrity have. And this isn't really celebrity. Well, by strict definition, it might be.
Well, I know what you're talking about. I think I'd feel more that way if I knew we had, like, hundreds of listeners that we didn't normally hear from.
But every once in a while, I get it, because every once in a while, somebody at work, it turns out they listened and I didn't know. Every once in a while, somebody's like, oh, yeah, your podcast, da-da-da. And I'm like, really?
Hmm.
And a lot of them have sown sort of seeds and stuff, listened once or twice, and I'm like, so did they ever listen again? I don't know.
Well, you know, I think I would feel more weird about not so much the things we talk about in our week, but the stuff we talk about in these conversations, because sometimes, like you said, we talk about a lot of things about our lives. I mean, all the most intimate things about myself I've shared, not in my week, but in the conversation we've had about stuff we've drawn out of the hat. And if I felt weird about sharing those details with the whole world. I mean, you know, because the way I think about it, potentially, I'm telling the entire world about these things.
Anybody has access to it. Yes, absolutely.
So, and I'm aware of that the whole time we're talking. So if I had an issue with the whole world knowing these things about me, I wouldn't talk about them.
Well, and I say weird. I don't mean bad. At no point do I have the urge to not do it. It's just not... It's a perspective I don't frequently have. And if I stop and think, I'm like, that's weird.
Because
I'm still fine with it. I, like, you know, I'm...
I don't share anything that I don't... I mean, I would agree that some of the things I share is pretty deep about me or whatever, but I don't feel like it's... I don't feel vulnerable sharing any of it. The only things, as I've often said, the only things I don't share on the air are things that I think compromise confidences with other people and things like that.
Security issues.
And...
Even if you lived alone, you probably wouldn't put your address on here.
And culturally, you know, as I've often talked about, I've been taught to keep some things private.
Exact.
Whatever, things like that.
You're adorable.
Not just that. We've talked about this.
I know, and it's hilarious.
But outside of those things, there's a lot to talk about, you know.
Yeah, and we do.
And I don't have a problem talking about any of that.
I don't either. Not a problem.
Well, but I mean, I don't. There's no weird. There's no weird feeling either. That the fact that someone might know it that I don't know that somehow that doesn't have any impact on my thinking about it.
That's weird to me.
I guess because I'm always aware that someone might find this stuff out that I don't know.
I don't usually think about it. When I do, I'm like, oh, dude. I mean, it's kind of cool, weird, really, but.
Well, probably also, let's be honest, I have serious doubts that this podcast, I mean, like you said, there are probably a couple people who listen who we never hear from and don't even know are listening, but they're probably not telling other people about it and saying, hey, you got to listen to this podcast, or else more people would be listening to our podcast.
I think there is a small country out there somewhere that, like, we are its national programming.
We're not the kind of podcast that people say, hey, you got to listen to this. Which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But
if your nation's government recognizes us, tell us about it on the blog, and also send us an MP3 of your nation's anthem. We would like to hear it. Especially if we're included in the lyrics.
We're not.
You don't know things.
There's a lot of things I don't know, but I do know that.
Mm.
And that's okay. You know, we are a niche. And that's a very tiny number of people, and it'll probably always be that way, and that's fine.
I have drawn a note card out of the hat, and I'm petting Ezzy with it.
Here's what would be weird, is if somehow we started getting even, say, hundreds of listeners, not even thousands, but hundreds, that would feel weird, not because now there's suddenly people hearing this stuff that we don't know, but because I would be totally baffled as to why hundreds of people would be listening to our podcast. I mean, if it was just you in it, I could understand it, because you're interesting and funny. But both of us?
No. Well, I'm not going to say you don't hold me back.
Well, because I do.
I feel like I shine through the Williams to still make it one of the most transcendent experiences you can have in this life.
And people just aren't interested in transcendent experiences, I guess.
I guess. People are dumb. All right, this is from Mark McKibben. Hard hat number.
One.
I forget his number. Oh, it's one. Okay,
it's one.
Yes. All right, I wasn't sure.
Numero uno.
Dear T and W. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, shortened to the point there.
And the T comes first. You probably think that's great. Because on this other one, William came first.
I do that. That happens on the feed, too, is alphabetical. I didn't want to do it, but it's alphabetical.
alphabetical.
Yes, Tony and William. If you were still going by Bill, we'd be all set.
No, because then you'd just change it to Anthony.
I might do that. All right, dear TNW, what is the absolute worst video game you've actually played all the way through to the end? Mark McKibben. That one is very hard, because anything that's that bad, I wouldn't play all the way through.
Same here. If the only video games I've played through to the end, I liked. So, Although there's still it's still a relative scale, right? I mean, there could be one that you liked the least. It was still good enough for you to finish.
But
you didn't really care for it.
I was a little annoyed to have played Final Fantasy X-2 all the way through. I'm not sure that was worth it. Final Fantasy 13 also pretty bad, but then you get to play Final Fantasy 13-2, which was a pretty good game. So that's your reward for that one.
I'd say, even though this was an okay game, I would say that right off the top of my head of all the games I've ever played, this is the one I felt like I don't think it would have bothered me if I never played this game or never watched this game being played, is the case, maybe. And that was, I'm going to forget what it's called. You know the one. It's the one where it's kind of recent. And it was a big deal that you could play the game without killing anybody.
Dishonored.
Yeah, Dishonored. It was all right, but we played it all the way through.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was a bad game, but I don't know if I'd say it was a good game either. It was okay. It was one of those games where I think we kind of hoped all the way through it would get a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
It never did. We finished it, and it was fine. But usually if it's worse than that, we won't even finish it.
I know. A game.
You played Sacred 2. We didn't even finish that one.
That is true. I finished Sacred 2 in one version.
We didn't even finish Sacred 2.
But along those lines, the producer and I beat Dungeon Hunter Alliance. And that was pretty shit. Just because nobody fucking gave a damn about that game. Like, it was the lamest graphics. If you played two-player, you're the same guy. Like, the same guy.
Just two people.
Well, that's the thing. There were three classes to pick from.
Yeah.
And each class was the same guy dressed slightly different. Like, one, he had a beard and stuff. But there's nothing stopping you from both playing the same class. And you would be identical.
Yeah.
And, as far as the story went, the other guy just wasn't there. Like, the story just pretended there was one dude.
I think we played this game, and I agree.
It's a download, and it's a co-op hack and slash.
We played a game like this that was just
like that. There's a lot of these, but this is just like all the shit stuff together.
Yeah, we played a game, I don't remember what it was called, but it was exactly like what you're saying, and it was the same experience. We played all the way through, but mostly because we wanted to play a cooperative game. There wasn't another one around, but it wasn't a very good game. Not great.
Dungeon Hunter Alliance.
But we played it through all the way, though.
We didn't even play all the way through Daggerdale.
Yeah,
which was one of those. What others?
We've got games at home that we bought this game controller thing. I mean, it's for the PS3 camera thing. What is it?
PlayStation Eye.
Yeah. So we have that, the Eye or whatever it is, and we don't really have any games you can play with it. We got it because we had the second Little Big Planet, I think.
Okay, yeah.
So then there's this game controller thing that... Now, the Eye has two controllers.
Oh, you're talking about PlayStation Move.
Move, whatever.
Yes.
It has two controllers. And if you put these controllers in a particular contraption, it's like a gun.
Yes.
And so we got that, and it came with two games, Resistance 3 and something else. And we've never played those games. And I don't even know why we bought all that. Well, I do kind of know. There was a kid in the house that was into that kind of thing and played the games a little bit. But
and there's a belief that maybe it'll be exercise and stuff. The neighbors kind of had the same thing.
Well,
and it's really cool for like a day, and then you don't touch it again.
There aren't as many games that use it as you would expect.
It did not do well, so it kind of...
Oh, I see.
The Wii basically was like, dude, get a Wii if you want to do this shit.
Well, anyway, we've got that.
And
thing.
The Kinect, a little bit, is more effective, but not, yeah.
But those games sit on the shelf, we don't even play.
And I have played shit games. I mean, I played E.T., like the Atari E.T., like the one... I own that, I believe, someplace. Hmm. But I didn't beat it. Because, huh? I mean, oh, Xenosaga Part 1, that was pretty bad to beat, and I did beat it. And then I got Xenosaga Part 2, and I don't think I've ever opened it.
Yeah, that's pretty much my whole list, right, as I've already said. You could probably go on and on if you really thought about it.
I haven't beat that many games. Only in recent years did I really beat them.
In the days where we were playing a lot of PC adventure games. Oh, man. We basically bought every PC adventure game that came out. Every single one. And we finished almost none of them.
A lot more are still coming out.
Well, you know, there were some based on, like, Dracula and Frankenstein and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Started them, didn't finish them. Oh, there was this sort of trilogy of games. It was a time travel thing. Journeyman something or other. I don't know if we finished any one of those. I think we started the first one and thought it was lame. Maybe we finished the first one. I don't remember. The second one we definitely didn't finish. So, yeah.
Back in the day, I didn't used to finish games. I wasn't good enough usually.
Well, if we didn't like it, we just didn't finish it.
Yeah.
And I would say the only quote-unquote bad games that we didn't finish were in the console era for us, which only started at PS2. I mean, I realize there were consoles since the 80s, but we only played PC games up until a point, which is kind of strange because, as I've often said, I don't like playing PC games.
Yeah.
But there was a time where if we were going to play a computer game or a video game, the only ones we liked were on PC, and so we sort of bit the bullet and went ahead and got PC games.
Yeah. I've been buying a lot of PC games.
But you kind of like playing games on the PC, though.
I do. I've had this weird illness lately, though. Between sales on Steam and sales on good old games and the Humble Bundles, I probably have like 50 or 60 PC games that I own now that I haven't played. That I'm just sitting on. Because they're cheap.
Yeah, that's a weird
and I get them. I mean,
phenomenon. It's, you can just buy these things on the cheap.
Yeah.
Like downloadable music, for example. But you're going to listen to the downloadable music. It's pretty easy. Just listen to it. But the downloadable film or video game, you might just acquire a bunch of them.
Using it, that, like, then can it work like a Thanksgiving? If I don't have a video game console there, I want to play something, I just pulled up some of those. I'm planning to do that at Christmas, too.
Yeah.
And it's often things like, oh, I never did play that game when I was younger. I always meant to. So now I have it.
Well, you know, I'm not much of a game player in the first place. So, I mean, when I want to play a game, it's always for it to be somewhat of a social occasion, you know, where either we can play it together or it can be something that we can all watch and maybe even talk about the decisions that are made and stuff like that. So it's got to have real strong story elements and choice, if not ways for you to communicate when you play. Otherwise, not that interested. So, I mean, when I'm bored or when I have to find something to do myself around the holidays, I don't immediately think of a video game.
It doesn't
even occur to me right away.
I think beginning of next year, if I get it for Christmas, if I don't, I'll get it myself. Finally going to do Skyrim.
I think you'll like it.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
I think you'll like it a lot.
I don't know if the podcast will continue or my job will continue my wife will keep.
You think it'll be that bad, huh?
I don't know. I don't get as bad as some people, but I got pretty heavy with Oblivion. And I think this is way better than that.
Well, yeah.
So
it's all the good stuff that Oblivion had, plus all kinds of other good stuff.
Yeah.
And you could play it. We finally stopped kind of playing it, but it's not. I mean, we were done with some of the major quests and everything. The main game, I suppose you could say, was done, but there was so much more you could do. You know, in fact, as I said earlier in an earlier podcast, we kind of went back to it without something else to play. And
I feel like this time to do. I really want to try and roleplay it. I really want to come up with a character in my head and make decisions based on that character. But at the same time, I don't want to limit, like with certain characters, there would be whole parts of the game that you would never do because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to come up with a character who's, like, very power hungry.
So you get to do everything, but you'd still do things in a very particular way.
Yeah. Well, because remember I said I was doing that with Dragon Age 2? Yeah, I'm not doing that so much anymore. Nowadays, it's like, oh, that didn't go the way I wanted. Or, oh, somebody's not as friendly with me now. Reset. I have reset and redone so many quests in that damn game. And I finally had one that I reset, and then I did it, and I didn't like that. And so I had to go online to look if there was a better result. And there wasn't, so I stuck with that.
Yeah. That's kind of the game. It's the kind of game it is, really.
But it's so... I feel like it would be so much better if I would just try and make the decisions based on the character and then live with the consequences.
Well, I'm saying the game itself doesn't really lend itself to that very much.
Yeah.
A little bit, but not as much as you'd probably...
I feel like it does more than the first one.
But... Yeah, I'd say that, but not as much as, say, Skyrim
does.
Or the way the third Dragon Age is going to.
Hopefully. Oh. Don't be so sure yet.
Yeah, we really look forward to it.
It looks really cool, but don't, you know... There's a chance for it to fuck up.
Well, the thing is, we liked the first game a lot.
I did too.
And the second game, there were a lot of the changes we didn't like, but we liked a lot of the there were other changes we did like. So it was a wash to us, and we enjoyed it. We played it several times.
I will say, I this morning slept with Isabella, and they have really improved on the love scenes from the. Stand there in front of the fire in your underwear and do nothing while somebody kind of crawls on you. Love scenes from the first one. Those things were nightmare fuel in the first game.
Okay, that's not what I was talking
about. Those things were terrifying.
But, yeah.
Come on, even you can admit that.
No.
The sex scenes in the first game, those were scary, motherfuckers.
I don't really remember anything about them. That's not the part of the game I paid any attention to.
Oh, it's scary.
Okay.
These ones are cute, and it's much more fade to black. That's the funny thing. At the same time, like, they're sort of less explicit, but they have more of a real, like, feel to them, more of a story feel, and it's nice.
But what I was talking about was, in the original game, there were lots of opportunities to really get to know the people in your party, which... You know, if you didn't want to, that you could play it and totally not really talk to anybody.
Yeah.
But if you were like the adult player in my house, it was really fun to conversation options and learn all this stuff. And a lot of the things about the characters were very, very interesting, added a lot to a lot of depth to the backstory of the whole world and everything. Very, very fun. They really pared that down in the second one. Or... If other players didn't feel like it was pared down, the quality of it wasn't... I mean, we just didn't enjoy that aspect of it as much.
I feel like they tried to make it more cinematic. The players still have their backstory and their storylines. They're all just sort of melodramatic things. They're much less a life and much more a crisis.
Yeah, and the characters... don't seem as three-dimensional. I mean, the characters in the first one, when you had conversations with them, it wasn't just what they were talking about happened in their lives. It's how they said it, little jokes they told about it.
I don't know. I still get...
highly developed characterizations.
I'm still getting that vibe from these characters. I'm still addicted to the dialogue conversations. And I recently had a, for lack of a better term, trialogue. You know how they all, like, two characters in your party will have these little chats?
Mm.
Had one where all three other characters had a chat together.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a few where two people and me have a chat, but this was, I was like, so this doesn't come up unless you have this exact party.
Right,
that's
right.
That's interesting.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That was.
And they're cute ones. I'm loving Meryl, who's my big crush. I'm hoping to end up with her. But she's so naive and stuff, and so Varric constantly refers to her as Daisy. And Isabella constantly refers to her as kitten.
Yeah.
When they talk, it's pretty adorable.
Yeah, somehow it still didn't feel like it had the depth of the first one. Because it seemed like in the first one, they really spent a lot of time developing these characters. I mean, it wasn't just backstory, it was everything.
There was a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. And
this is a little more streamlined.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah. We'll see how the next one is. I mean, I'll see later than everybody else, but... So I'm only getting Dragon Age 2 now. Alright, so we should wrap this up. It's a little early, but it's a little late for us.
Alright, well, thanks, so, Craig and Mark.
And we hope you've all had a wonderful Christmas. Or today is the start of Kwanzaa.
Is it?
When they're listening, the 26th.
Is it? I didn't know.
I don't know how long Kwanzaa lasts, or even what the fuck it is, really.
But well, this is our last...
My calendar told me.
This is our last show of 2013,
that
so...
That is true.
Next time you folks hear us, it'll be 2014.
And I will hopefully have a very interesting story about New Year's Eve. Because I usually do. All right, everybody. Oh, damn, it's doing that again.
What happened?
Sorry, my computer's doing some weird shit. Don't worry about it. I will fix it. In the meantime, enjoy this medley of Perry Como songs.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.